today is to take probably just a half hour. Lord, just begin to allow our hearts to sink into the mindset that the chosen people of Israel from God, by God, have still been chosen and are still chosen. I thank God through their disobedience that we've been able to be grafted in. But because we've been grafted in, we should be even that more grateful for those who were chosen. And so we should be praying even more fervently for those who are chosen to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Even though they rejected him then, in the end time, they're not going to reject him. Paul says, thus all Israel shall be saved. So we need to be able to usher that time in. The more we can evangelize, the more we can participate with Israel or for Israel or for the Messianic population that has a good, strong voice in Israel, we need to participate, whether it's through your finances or through your ministry or whatever. Yes, let's evangelize the world, but the more we get to Israel, the quicker Jesus is going to come back. Look at it that way. And so we need to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and for the reconciliation of the people of Israel to God. And in that, we have to have a deeper understanding of their background, which we've done over the last 10 weeks, and now we're going to get into a little bit more current events and the significance of the land of Israel. So Lord, bless it. Don't let it be my words. Holy Spirit, please convey the message that you want to the people about Israel and their land. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, last week we said that God is still working in the natural state of Israel. Remember? If you don't remember, remember now. We talked about the actual natural state of Israel, not spiritual Israel, but natural Israel. And that's Israel's land is going to be the site of many end-time events. Physically speaking, tangibly speaking, the physical land of Israel will be the site of end-time events when Jesus does return. You have to remember, Jesus was Jewish, and he's going to return to his homeland, if you want to look at it that way, okay? Why Israel being so small is so significant in the world events and on the media and in the news? Because God had it planned that way. It's going to be focused on Israel in the end time. You can bet all eyes will be on, well, my eyes are going to be looking for my salvation, from where my salvation comes from. So I'm looking to Jesus. But through Jesus, I'm going to kind of beam down over there in Israel, because I believe that's where he will descend on that Mount of Olives. And, you know, we said, well, how could every eye and every knee bow and everything see him? Well, have anybody ever been on the internet before? Have you ever seen television? Even if his body can't be recognized like a satellite coming out of the sky, you'll be able to know he's coming and see it on every piece of media that we have. And by that time, media is progressing at such a rate, they say like 100 times per year or something. It's just expanding. We're going to know it. I guarantee it, we're going to know it. So, if you're saved, plan on meeting Jesus, okay? No matter whether he's seen visibly from here or whether you're seeing it through, well, you'll see it, bird's eye view. No pun intended. Okay? The devil, listen, the devil has tried to dispossess the Jews from their promised land throughout all of history. Just read it. And we have all witnessed the age-long conflict set up between the descendants of Isaac, right? The Jews, Abraham's son Isaac that was promised from God, and the descendants of Ishmael, which are the modern-day Arabs, many of which we refer to as Palestinians, living in the land of Israel today. Remember the two sons, the one of promise, Abraham, had he waited, and he didn't have relations with Hagar? There would be no Ishmael. But God's sovereign, and he knew everything from the beginning and such like that. And so when Ishmael was born, he was not the son of promise. Therefore, the Arabs are still jealous today. They think that they're the promised ones and they have the right to this. And, well, let's not get into all that. Just understand that natural Israel, Isaac, is the son of promise from Abraham. And that natural line of Abraham being Jewish is why the Jews were initially chosen as God's people. Abraham was faithful in all that he did. Abraham was willing to sacrifice his son. God was well pleased, and God chose Israel to be the example to all the Gentile nations that I can work through a yielded people who love me and are willing to follow me. Well, that was his plan. Israel didn't do that. And we can read through the Old Testament and see the ups and downs of how God so desperately wanted the natural state of Israel to be his chosen representatives. Well, they still are, but they've been kind of pushed aside a little bit to make room for his other chosen representatives, those who put their faith in Jesus Christ. We become part of the nation of Israel, spiritual Israel, not the national Israel, but spiritual Israel. And spiritual Israel and natural Israel are coming into one new man. The church does not replace Israel. The church has been grafted in, and we are one new man with natural Israel, at least those right now that are saved. Don't get me wrong. Somebody asked me the other day, last week, after I preached one, I said, all Israel will be saved. Well, are you saying that even if Israel doesn't believe and have faith in Jesus Christ, that those Jews are going to go to heaven anyway? No, that's not what I'm saying. Faith in Jesus Christ gets you to heaven. Okay? Jewish, non-Jewish, Gentile, if you reject Jesus and you serve Satan, you're not going, Jew or anybody like that. But because Israel's heritage, and because it's not like they don't believe in Messiah, it's not like they don't believe in Jesus, they just don't believe that Jesus was the one that came 2,000 years ago. So when they, and every eye sees him, the Jewish people are going to be the first ones to go up, yip up and hooray when Jesus comes back. Because that true Messiah, when they believe the true Messiah, it'll be the first time. For us, it's going to be the second time that Jesus appeared. And that's kind of cool. But right now, many of which refer to Palestinians are living in the land of Israel today. I was there, I saw it. I saw a lot more Palestinians than I actually saw Jewish people, to be honest with you. Places that we ate were mostly Palestinian. So, anyway, just it's a mixed land today. It's very secular. That's why we have to support the Messianic Jews, because there's a small percentage of Christians in Israel today. We need to get that thing large and huge, because we want Jesus to have the best reception ever. Right? Right. I'll say it. Unfortunately, the media today pictures the Palestinians as cruelly oppressed and denied possession of their native land, which they say was stolen from them by an invading Israel army. The Israeli army invaded and took our land. But the truth is not found in our modern-day media. How many can say amen?
Amen.
The truth is contained in Scripture. So let's examine regarding the rights of national Israel to this land given to them by God. Genesis 15 to 18. We can go all the way back to Genesis. On that day, the Lord made a covenant. What does that mean? A promise. And when God makes a promise, he can't lie, right? It's not like man. God is not a man that he should lie. God made a covenant with Abram saying, to your descendants, I have given this land from the river of Egypt. He's even defining the borders. As far as the great river, the river Euphrates. Okay? God's promise to Israel was that land was theirs. He never, ever in the Bible took it away from them. A man steals land all the time. There's land grabbers everywhere. But God, he didn't share the land with the devil or anybody else. If he gives the land to somebody, it's theirs. Whether they're living in it or not, it's theirs. Genesis 17, 7 to 9. I will establish my covenant between me and you and your descendants after you throughout their generations. How? Throughout their generations. For a, what kind of a covenant? An everlasting covenant. To be God to you and to be descendant and to your descendants after you. I will give to you and to your descendants after you the land of your sojournings, all the land of Canaan. Look it up. You'll see the borders. For an everlasting, what kind of a possession? An everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Israel has never lost its biblical right to that land. Maybe pushed out, maybe beat out, maybe whatever out, but it's still and will always be their possession from God. God said further to Abraham, now as for you, you shall keep my covenant. You and your descendants after you throughout their generations. That's the word of the Lord. Okay? So, this was the first of many promises, and I'm not getting into them all, concerning Israel's land, and it's the foundation for our modern day return of the Jews to the land. You all know about it. They're coming from every country. back to that land. It's not a coincidence. It's biblical. It's God-ordained. It's angelic-driven. But the sovereignty of Israel is being threatened. Their right to own that land or to be in that land or to control that land, that's called sovereignty. That sovereignty is being threatened. The Israeli government is being pressured to give away the land promised to God by Abraham's descendants through Isaac by the Arabs. They are pressuring. Modern Arab leaders are constantly insulting Israel daily. Just look at your news. Just as they did long ago. And ultimately, folks, listen to me, their desire is the destruction of Israel as a nation.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you, not only Israel, but Christians, because we're what? Well, what are we supposed to be? One new man. So that's why you see Christians and Jews today persecuted by these Arab nations. Ezekiel 36, 6 to 12. Therefore, prophecy concerning the land of Israel. So he's telling them, tell them, futuristically, prophesy, and say to the mountains, which is the West Bank, you know, the mountains of Israel, the West Bank is can really be called the mountains of Israel, because that's where all the mountains are, in the West Bank. Prophesy and say to the mountains, and to the hills, to the ravines, and to the valleys, thus says the Lord God, there it is right there, behold, I have spoken in my jealousy and in my wrath, because you have endured the insults of the nations. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, I have sworn that surely the nations which are around you will themselves endure their own insults. I put their own in there, but you know what it means. Their insults. They can insult Israel all they want right now. But when you got God in your corner, me and God, you can have a billion people on the other side of the fence. But if it's me and God, I'm a majority.
Yeah.
But you, O mountains of Israel, including that West Bank, you will be put forth. You will put forth your branches and bear your fruit for my people Israel, for they will soon come, and we are living in those days. For behold, I am for you, and I will turn to you, and you will be cultivated and sown. Right now, that cultivation is happening in Israel. They're not just cultivating the land back, but there are Messianic Jews and others who have a call in their life to cultivate their spirituality back, to know their God, whom they denied a long time ago, that is coming again. He says, I will multiply men on you in the house of Israel. All of it. All of it. Not some of it. Don't give part of the land away. And the cities will be inhabited. And the waste places rebuilt. If you knew what Israel was like long ago, before the Jews got back there, it was a wasteland. Hence prophecy come true. I will multiply you, man and beast, and they will increase and be fruitful. And I will cause you to be inhabited as you were formerly, which it is now, and even greater. Their technology exceeds the rest of the world. And it will treat you better than it did at first. Thus you will know that I am the Lord. Just seeing Israel return in 1948, actually in 1917, in the Balfour Declaration, British declared that it would be Israel's land, but it officially became it in 1948. Actually, back then, you'll know that it was their inheritance, that the land changed, it immediately changed by their presence. That should be witness to you guys alone, that they're God's people. That a wasteland became one of the more fruitful nations of the world, and God brought them all back as he said he would. It's just mind-boggling to think of it, and when I think of it prophetically, it gives me chills. Yes, I will cause men, the people of Israel, to walk on you and possess you, which they're doing, so that you will become their inheritance and never again bereave them their children. Big prophecy. Happening. We're so fortunate we're seeing it. If you don't believe me, if you don't believe the Word of God, read your newspaper. Folks, the land of Israel is not disputed in the Bible. As prophesied, the Jews were scattered amongst the nations for a season, but were told they would one day return to their land. And they did. As I said, in 1948, Israel became a Jewish state. And in the miraculous Six-Day War of 1967, the Jews reclaimed the West Bank. Now, the West Bank, just for those of you that don't know, the West Bank includes Jerusalem, Bethlehem, Bethany, Hebron, Ai, Bethel, Shiloh, and Shechem. These lands were made famous by Abraham, Jacob, Joshua, David, Jesus, countless others. I mean, do you understand? Joseph and the patriarchs were buried there. Jesus was born there in Bethlehem. David and Solomon ruled in Jerusalem, and the temple stood there. Do you get it? The West Bank is more Israel than the rest of the bank, or the land, right? This was, again, this is the undisputed word of the Lord. No matter what the media or the Arabs say, that is the land of Israel. Ezekiel 11:17. Therefore say, thus says the Lord, I will gather you from the peoples and assemble you out of the countries among which you have been scattered, and I will give you the land of Israel. Praise God. Right there, it's been fulfilled. They're back. And President Trump made Jerusalem the capital of Israel. Prophetically, they're back. In the Six-Day War, the West Bank came back. This is not happenstance. It's an act of God Almighty. And maybe the Jews themselves don't know it. But they didn't know a lot of things in the Old Testament that had to be explained to them from the guys in the New Testament. And some of them became believers. And today, as we do that, we get messianic believers. So don't give up on them. There's still a remnant. There's always been a remnant according to God. But we still need to preach the Word of God. So the West Bank is the hub of Israel according to the Bible. And again, as a nation, we better understand and respect this. Praise God. In this administration, we are.
Yeah.
So we're going to be blessed. For the Bible says those who bless Israel, what? Will be blessed. And those who curse Israel?
Will be cursed.
But you may ask, what about the Palestinians or Muslims' rights to the land? Folks, during the last 2,000 years, Arabs, Palestinians, in other words, Palestinians, Arabs, were simply transient people moving in and out of the area unhindered by borders. There were no borders. They were moving in and they were just moving out. They were attempting to find pasture land for their flocks, but guess what? The land was barren. So they didn't stay. They couldn't. There was nothing to eat. It was uncultivated until the Jews returned. The land was swamp land. It was sand. It was barren mounds of rocks. But because of the desolation, the returning Jews could settle most of the Holy Land without displacing anybody. Nobody cared. The Palestinians were there. Sure, take it. At that time, when it was barren, and God's hand didn't come upon it because of the Jews' return. So nobody was displaced. Oh, we're being displaced. It's our land. The Jews have invaded. The British gave it to the Jews. They didn't say any of this stuff when the land was barren. Because it wasn't theirs. Just want you to get a feel for this because it's important that you understand the historicity of this. So they could inhabit it because they weren't displacing anybody. God promised Israel would return and spread out, yield fruit, till and sow, inhabit cities, rebuild ruins, and possess the land. Amen, amen, and amen. I've been there, they've done it. And it is fruitful. It's some of the biggest fruit you'll buy anywhere in the world. And boy, did they return and restore the land as prophesied. Jewish settlements created jobs. Only then were Arabic workers from neighboring lands drawn to the area for work. And as the Jews grew, so did the Arabic settlements, causing the dispute that we have today. Okay? That's what started causing it, because it became prosperous. Anytime you see money, you're going to see people flock to it. It's just the way it is. And by the way, 1948, when Israel became a Jewish state, previous residents in the area were called Palestinians. These Palestinians were predominantly Jews. But they were also made up of Arabs and Gentiles. So how the Arabs got in there and started thinking, our land, it's just propaganda.
Yeah.
At that time, interestingly enough, the Arabic people preferred not to be called Palestinian. Oh, but today we want to be called Palestinian because now we can get on the side of fighting for that land. But even then, they didn't want to be called Palestinians. They didn't want to mix with the Jews, which were predominantly Palestinian at the time. We didn't want anything to do with them. But they became prosperous, and they became fruitful, and they became it was the place to be. We could get money, we could get that. Oh, hey, we could call it our land because we were here first. We were mine, come on. So let's define a few more Middle Eastern terms in groups of names, group names, so you can get it can get very confusing when you hear it on the media. So let me define it for you. In Bible terms, I'm going to define it for you. An Arab was a descendant of Ishmael, who lived in Arabia. But they intermarried with other tribes. So many Arabs became Jewish, Gentile, whatever, right? When you intermarry and you become a mixed group, you become, okay? So the Arabs that came from Ishmael, who lived in Arabia, intermarried some with Jewish people and Gentile people, so it became a mixed group. Other Arabs became what we know today as Muslim. Muslim. Muslims are a group of people who practice a religion called Islam. So these Arabs, kind of like we're Protestant and Lutheran and Catholic and independent and all that kind of stuff, most of the Arabs, or I shouldn't say most because I really don't know that figure, but Muslims, who were Muslim at the time, right, or called Muslim now, because they were people, Muslims called people who practice a religion called Islam. So Islam is their religion. We practice Christianity. These guys practice Islam. And it's the Islamic movement that's trying to destroy Israel. And, like I said, many Christians. Islam opposes Jesus. And it favors Muhammad as their great prophet. See, they think Jesus was just a good prophet. Muhammad was the great prophet. Remember, it's considered a holy war. When we talk about Israel and the Arabs over there, everybody you hear on the media, right? I'm just defining terms. It's considered a holy war that's been going on since Isaac and Ishmael's time. As soon as Ishmael walked out of the camp and Abraham sent him away, God knew it. He's sovereign. He knows about today. He knew about yesterday. And he knows about forever. Isn't it interesting that the Arabs recognize the one new man connection between Israel and Gentile believers? More so than we do. They're willing to fight and die for it. What are we willing to do? They know that Christians and Jews are supposed to be one. That's why this holy war is not just against the Jewish nation land over there. You see it coming to Christians wherever they live. The persecution by the Arabs. Think about that. These Arabs understand the one new man. And as a church, we don't. Sad. We think Israel forsook God. We think Israel were the bad guys because, you know, they abandoned, didn't recognize Jesus came. I'm beginning to think we as a church sometimes, we got our own stuff. Instead of pointing our finger at Israel going, yeah, you know, you did wrong, you didn't recognize the Messiah and stuff like that. There's three pointing back at us that says we better recognize Messiah. We better recognize the one new man in prayer of Jesus. But we're not going to see that second return until a long time because Jesus wants his church united. We're to be victorious and militant as a church, not weak and disabled. It's Jesus' church. We're not going to be weak. We're not going to be disabled. We're going to be strong. We're going to evangelize the world. We're going to win the Jews to Christ. We're going to win Gentiles to Christ. We're going to lay hands on the sick and see them recover. We're going to see the dead raised. That was it from the beginning, and it's going to be better at the end. Because the Spirit of the Lord is going to come in a revival, and I don't know about you, but this church and the roof right here, I expect that thing to be blown away. This pulpit split in two, and the Spirit of God coming, and people coming in off the street saying, we need the Messiah. They believe in the one new man. Why can't we? Why? They're evidenced by the hatred and attacks on both groups. We said that. Psalm 83, 1 to 7. A few more minutes. Psalm 83, 1 to 7. Oh God, do not remain quiet. Do not be silent. Oh God, do not be still. How many prayed that way? Keep going. For behold, your enemies make an uproar, and those who hate you have exalted themselves. They make shrewd plans against your people. Come on, this is world news. And conspire together against your treasured ones. It might as well be a news report. They've said, come and let us wipe them out as a nation. Hello? That the name of Israel be remembered no more. That's their rhetoric today. For they have conspired together with one mind. At least they're in one accord. Against you, they've made a covenant. They make a covenant. The tents of Edom and the Ishmaelites, Moab and the Hagrites. Gebel and Ammon and Amalek and Philistia. How do you go like that, man? Rolling right off my tongue. Gebel and Ammon, Amalek and Philistia with the inhabitants of Tyre. That's not easy to say. These are the people that are coming against Israel. Little Israel surrounded by all these Arab nations and they can't get a foot in the door. And the only reason they have feet in the door is because Israel's allowing them to. Israel at any time can say, get out. And they have the military might to do so. They don't have the spiritual understanding, though, to understand the impact that would have. But it's coming, because there's more Christians coming in, secular Israel right now, to feed them the Word of God. Folks, this holy war still rages today. Egypt, between 1958 and 1961, said, I announce from here on behalf of the United Arab Republic people that at this time we will exterminate Israel. 1961. Iraq says our goal is clear, and that is to wipe Israel off the map. Libya says the battle with Israel must be such that after Israel will cease to exist. The PLO Palestinians say the struggle is not about Israel's borders, but about Israel's existence. What should be our response to such words of war? Psalm 83, verse 16 and 18. Fill their faces with dishonor, that they may seek your name, O Lord. That they may know that you alone, whose name is the Lord, are the Most High over all the earth. Fill their faces with dishonor. In other words, sick them, Holy Spirit. Get them, God. They're invading our territory. Get off my land. See, most of Israel doesn't know that. But the remnant does. They know it's their land. They know they need to rebuild the temple. They know they're in God's graces. They're getting saved. They're working on trying to get others saved. What are we doing as a church? We gather together every Sunday and we worship and do stuff and get taught and we get built up and get fed and get fat. You know, I'm all for that because I'm the head of it. Okay? I'm not against that. But we need to be doing more evangelistically, and we need to be doing more evangelistically towards the Jewish population. So, well, Pastor, there's no Jews that live directly around me. Well, then support the ones that are doing it somewhere else. But we got to start doing it. If we want to see the end times usher, I don't know about the rest of you, but a lot of us are moaning and groaning and complaining about physical things and all that stuff. The quicker Jesus comes back, the quicker you get your new body.
Yeah.
I agree with that. Folks, every knee is going to bow to the will of God. Israel will remain in the land, and you can count on it. Because God is fighting on our behalf and her behalf. Again, your behalf if you're part of that Israel one man. Millions of Jewish people have returned to the land, and miracles have allowed the state of Israel to survive several wars. The once desolate land has become fruitful. And you know who said that? Look at Ezekiel. Then the nations that are left around about you will know that I, the Lord, have rebuilt the ruined places and planted that which was desolate. I, the Lord, have spoken it, and I will do it. And he's done it. Thus says the Lord God, this also I will let the house of Israel ask me to do for them. I will increase their men like a flock. Like a flock for sacrifices, like a flock at Jerusalem during her appointed feasts, so will the waste cities be filled with flocks of men. Then they will know that I am the Lord. What did he say? I'm going to put a facelift on Israel. When my people come back, they're going to have such an anointing that the fruit and the land and everything about it is just going to skyrocket and be bold and strong and wise and discerning. And that is what happened. Now, we just need to inject it with the Spirit of God, and wow! Well, when that happens, it'll be the end of the world.
Yeah.
It'll be the end. So, I get to finish this today. Wow, because I got 1 minute left. God has warned the Arab nations not to covet the land he's promised to Israel. I'm going to say that again. God has warned in the Word of God the Arab nations not to covet the land he has promised to Israel. Even well-meaning Christians lacking a complete understanding of God's Word have encouraged Palestinians to claim Israel's land. We see it in the news. We see it in some of the churches. Folks, leaders of nations that are against Israel today are like the king of Moab who tried to get Balaam to curse and weaken Israel. Like Balaam, they do not see the angel of the Lord standing in their path. Just take a look at Israel and you'll see that God is standing right there going, you just bring it on. This is not a political problem, folks. This is a warning from God to all nations and people who oppose Israel. Do not trespass. We are to support Israel, folks. We must warn our leaders. And as for me and my house, we're going to support Israel of God. We'll finish our series next week on the significance of Israel, talking about current events and their impact on everything that we studied thus far, as well as all the need for the church to support the nation of Israel. Hit the song anyway.
Okay.
There's prayer in both corners of